Morning, guys.
Morning.
Good to be back. I was just talking earlier. I went to see Pastor Randy about a week ago. I think it was a week ago. Time kind of gets by you, you know. But I knocked on the door and I was like, man, I know they knew I was coming. Took a little while and I just kept standing there and I'm all of a sudden the door opens. It's Pastor Randy. He got up, walked, and opened the door. Amen. Isn't that good? So he's doing better. You know, we were just talking before, you know, something that Polly said and the doctors say is once the walking starts, the speech comes back, everything starts coming back. And so he's doing great. He sits there, he laughs. Right before I left, I said, Pastor Randy, I want you to pray for me. He laid his hands on me and he prayed the only words he knows how to say right now. And I just received them as whatever his spirit was saying. Amen.
Amen.
So just keep him lifted up. And, you know, this Bible study has maintained. It's stayed steady. And so thank you all for keeping, what your commitment was and why you're here. Keep coming. But bring people with you, right? I see some new faces, so that's a good sign. This group is supposed to be men who want to grow. Amen?
Amen.
Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about anticipation. I want to talk to you about, you know, some of the killers of anticipation, expectation, and how God can take you from where you are to where he wants you and designed for you to be. It's important that we understand staying the same is not a godly thing. Even though God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we're not supposed to be, right? We're not God. Although we're made in his image, we're supposed to ever be increasing, ever be evolving, right? I mean, look at just the galaxies, the planets. It expands every day. Science has proven it. But God's word has said it, right? And so God's word is above all. And if God's word says you can grow and you can develop, then you should grow and develop. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to give you just a few scriptures. You can write them down if you want, but we're going to kind of talk through how you can go from where you are to where God wants you to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 13, the Apostle Paul is writing and he's talking to a church there in Corinth, but he's quoting the psalmist David. And he says this, he says in 2 Corinthians, depending on what verses you're reading or what translation you're reading, he says, we having the same spirit of faith, right? He calls faith a spirit. We having the same spirit of faith, he says, as it is written, this is what Psalmist David said, I believe and therefore I speak. All right, so David had this kind of confidence about him. He would say things like, I believe it, and because I believe it, I say it. Right. So I say what I believe. So David was choosy with his words. Right. If he said something, he really believed it. So sometimes you do say what you believe, even if what you believe is wrong. Right. And so he said, the Apostle Paul said, so if we have the same spirit of faith as David, then he said, we believe and therefore we speak. Meaning in proximity, you can catch things. Right. You hang around the right people, you'll catch the right things. You hang around the wrong people, you catch the wrong things. Don't believe me? Go have a teenager and see what happens. It's just the truth. Go think back to your teenage days. Right. You can tell a lot about who you're hanging out with by the path you start to take, the thoughts you begin to think, the words you begin to speak. I can get around my family from East Texas and my accent changes. My twang comes back and before long I've got boots on. I'm riding horses. We're shooting guns, right? It's just it's who you're around. It's just part of who I am, how I was originally designed. So we have a flesh pattern, right, that we can easily default back to. But we also have a spirit man that needs to be renewed day by day by day. Amen.
Amen.
And so the Apostle Paul literally said, he said, I got what David had. I got a spirit of faith. Now, if a spirit of faith is good, there's always something good that God gives us, but there's always a perversion that Satan offers us. Right. So Satan will come in with a spirit of fear. Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 talks about that. Paul, same writer, wrote to Timothy and he said this. He said, God did not give you a spirit of fear. Right. He said, but he gave you power, love, and a sound mind. New Living Translation says a disciplined mind. But the New Living Translation also says God didn't give you a spirit of fear and timidity. So a lot of times men have a hard time admitting they're afraid or admitting there's fear at all. Right? Because fear would mean like, oh, I'm scared. But sometimes fear, it just comes in the form of hesitation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're supposed to do it, but you're hesitant. You know, you're supposed to walk towards something, but you, if you're walking, you walk timidly. There's a difference in being cautious using wisdom or being cautious by fear. Like, I don't know. Right. I remember as a teenager, I'd go up, you know, 2, 3, 4 stories, and we'd be building stuff, and you're on scaffolding or you're building railing. I didn't think twice about it. Today, my God, I'll walk out and go, oh, there's no railing. Why? It's different. I don't know why. Something changed in me. I was fearless, and now there's an opportunity to be fearful, right? So I've got to fight those things. I've got to think about those things. People who don't live by faith, how Romans 1:17 tells us to, people who don't live by faith, they sit in a place of complacency. They sit in a place of, one, I don't want more. I don't think I need more. I don't require more. Or two, they'll sit in a place of fear, which means even if more is available, I don't know if I want to go after it. And I can tell you this, in your life with God, more is always available.
Yes.
It's the truth. It's always available. So a person of faith is a person who's anticipating more from God. They're expecting more from God, right? That's what you want. You want, if you're soil, you want to be fertile, right? Mm. If you're a farmer, you don't just plant in dry ground. And if the ground's not right, you spend some time with it. Yeah. You till it up. You work with it. You get it right. You test it. You make sure. Why? Because the seed is so precious, because what comes from the seed is a harvest, right? God's word is a seed. God's voice is a seed. Every time he speaks to you, he's speaking something that he wants to bear fruit. But if you become a place where the word of God can't fall on fertile ground because of fear, fear will choke the very thing that God is trying to unleash.
That's good.
So think of it this way. What fear paralyzes, faith mobilizes. And that's why when you look at the different people in the Bible, you have the woman with the issue of blood, right? 12 years she had a problem. 12 years she spent her money. She tried. She didn't sit there and go, oh, I guess I just got an issue and this is my life. Oh, no. She tried. She went and sought doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor, spent all of her money. 12 years, over a decade, she consistently tried to do it in her strength, what she could figure out, right? At least you got to give her that. Amen. She was willing. But there came a day where faith was mixed with her efforts, where she heard about Jesus. And the Bible says when she heard about him, she said. So there's an action. There's an anticipation. There's an expectation. She said, if I may only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Yeah. She didn't say, if he comes and touches me. She didn't say, well, I'm going to stand over here. He knows I'm sick. If the pastor comes over and touches me, speaks to me, visits my house, comes over, acknowledges me, right, then things will change. No, she said, I'm going to touch him. She didn't even say, I need him to turn around and acknowledge me. She just said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible says she kept saying as she pressed through the crowd. One translation describes her on her hands and knees crawling through the crowd that was following Jesus. She was determined. And she touched the hem of his garment. I mean, that's like me brushing his shirt. Now imagine if there's thousands of people around him. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And his disciples were like, Jesus, what are you talking about? I think I probably touched you. Everybody's touching you. People are pushing in. It's mayhem right now. He said, no. This touch took from me. He said, virtue left my body. And he turned around and he looked, and it was visible who touched him, because when faith gets its answer, there's a visibility to it.
Yes, yes.
That's good.
When God answers your prayers, you're not the same. Your gratitude changes. Your posture changes. Your heart's posture changes. He looked at her and he knew that's the one that came after what I had. And her life was changed forever. You look at David. When David got famous for the story of Goliath, David didn't start off that way. David was a shepherd boy. David was a musician. David had things he had to do. He had responsibilities. And one day his responsibility was to take sandwiches to his brothers who were in the military. They were fighting. But little old David couldn't fight. He wasn't old enough yet, right? So David goes out there, brings his family sandwiches. He's feeding them. And he notices his brothers are scared. He notices all the guys are scared. He notices his whole entire community is riddled with fear. And he says, what's going on? And he hears a sound. He hears somebody mocking not only his people, but his God. And something on the inside of David changed. He had this faith that rose up on the inside of him. And the Bible says that David began to say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Really what he was saying is, who is this man who doesn't have the covenant with God that I have? Who is the man that is trying to come against my God who I have a covenant with? A covenant is not just a promise. A covenant is a big deal.
Yes.
So he knew he had faith in his own covenant that my God will protect me against this guy. And the Bible says when David went after Goliath, he didn't go after him going, I sure hope this works.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe I should have brought my backup sling, right? He didn't say none of that. The Bible says that David ran at Goliath speaking what he was going to do to him.
Yes, speaking.
I mean, think about it. He ran at him telling him, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to cut your head off, and my God will reign.
Amen.
That's what David said. He didn't run at him going, oh, we hope this works. No. And so David ran at his giant. He ran at his problem. He ran at his situation. That's exactly right. He ran at it by faith, but he used his words. So you could say this, never run at your giant with your mouth shut. You've got to say something. You've got to speak something. Maybe your giant today is not a big Philistine. Maybe your giant today is a diagnosis from the doctor. Maybe your giant is a problem in a relationship or a wayward child, right? Maybe your giant is your own mental health. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a secret sin nobody knows about but you. Maybe it's torment that nobody knows about but you. You've dealt with torment. You've dealt with thoughts. You've dealt with patterns. You've dealt with night terrors, whatever it might be. Nobody knows but you. But if you're going to sit there quiet, come on, it's like the TV shows and the movies, or maybe you've seen it firsthand. When the bully is bullying somebody, the person they're bullying is quiet. Why? That's why he's bullying them, because he can. Right? You don't bully people who talk back. Those are the people you walk away from. Right? I'll never forget John Osteen, which is Joel Osteen's father. John Osteen told a story one time when he was a kid. There was a guy in junior high who was walking around and had a list, and he just kept writing names on this list. And so finally John Osteen walked over to him. He said, hey, what's that list? And he kind of didn't answer him, and he kind of kept marking names down. And so finally one of his friends walked up. He said, hey, he's got your name on that list. So he walked back over to him. He said, hey, I want to know. Someone told me you got my name on that list. And he said, what's that list? He said, well, this is a list of everybody I can whoop. He said, you can't whoop me. Take my name off that list. And he goes, oh, okay, and turned it over and erased it and just walked on, right? I mean, think about the devil. The devil thinks he's got you. The devil thinks he can terrorize you and torment you and defeat you. Just like we said earlier, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But just because he comes with that motive doesn't mean he has that access.
That's right.
The only access he has is the access that we give him. If you leave your doors open and cracked and your windows unlocked and your alarm disarmed, that's your choice. But God's given you things. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty, the Bible says. So Satan, although he does come, the Bible says we are victorious. We are always triumphant. We are on the winning side. And so you look at David. David ran at his giant with faith. He had a confident expectation. He knew that what God said he would do, it would happen. But here's the deal. Satan doesn't have to defeat you if he can just pause you. You understand? If he can just slow you down. If he can get you to question. If he can get you to hesitate. Just hesitancy alone can delay some progress and some promotion in your life.
That's good.
That's why when God speaks to me, it's my life's endeavor to act promptly. Right? Like, God, I'm waiting. Like, I'm waiting for the, you know, not the ready, set. I'm waiting for the, like, I'm already on the mark, God. You tell me to go, I'm going to go. God has to slow me down. He don't have to rev me up.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's a good problem, right? Sometimes the bad side of it, you can get out ahead of God. You got to be careful. But you would rather be going somewhere and God go, no, over here. Come on, over here. Yes, sir. All right. Sorry. I was just excited, right? I'm just excited. Whatever you want me to do. But faith sees things differently. It's not even a glass half empty, glass half full scenario. It's I believe I'm always full.
Amen.
I believe I have more than enough. I believe that what God has asked me to do, He'll come through. I've got things right now in my life that to the natural person would seem impossible. But in my mind, I don't even consider it impossible. It's not even a limiting factor. It will happen. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen in His timing.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So I don't focus on what's not there. I know what's coming. I know what belongs to me. I know what's available. And I'm not going to let the devil try to get me in the gaps of my expectation to fear him.
Gaps in my expectation.
Now think about it this way. The Bible says that we're seated with him in heavenly places. If you read the Bible and you don't fully understand it, it can be confusing because there's other scriptures that say we're supposed to stand. After having done all to stand therefore. And then there's scriptures that say we're seated. And it's like, well, what do you want me to do? Sit down or stand up? I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. But the issue is this. Our seated position is a supernatural thing. It's a thing that happens not in the natural realm. And the natural realm, although we might be standing in a fight and believing God, and although we've done all to stand, okay, God, I've been doing this for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years. What do I do? He says, stand therefore.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a second, you told me I should stand, you said I have stood, I've done all to stand, and I'm still standing, what do you want me to do? He's like, I want you to stand. And it's like, okay, but our seated is an understanding of our authority. You understand that? When a police officer walks out onto Evangeline Thruway, and there's a F-250 doing 95 miles an hour, and he does this, he's got not a lot of faith in his hand. He's got a lot of faith in what's back in that badge.
Yeah.
But although I'm standing right here, I'm seated in a position of authority of our police department that's backing me, that your truck has to stop. Even though it can plow right through me, it's got to stop. And so the same thing is with you. When you stand there, for me, I'm 5'8", you know, 170 pounds. Big devil comes and wants to attack my family, wants to attack my kids, wants to attack some situations. I can't just go, well, all 5'8" of me is telling you to stop. Oh, no. What's backing me is my seat.
That's good. That's good.
I have a place in heaven by the right hand of the Father. The right hand is the place of authority. The Bible doesn't just say I have a chair in heaven. It says I'm seated with Christ, with him. I'm sharing his seat. In heavenly places. That means, as is Christ, so am I.
Amen.
His rank, his rule, his authority, his power is my power. You don't believe me? Well, the Bible says so. The Bible actually says the last thing Jesus said before he ascended was, he said, the power that I have, I give it unto you.
Amen.
He said, now you go.
That's
You go and do the things you've seen me do for the last 3 years. All those people I preach to, you go do it. Amen. All those times I laid hands on the sick and they recovered, you go do it. All those times the enemy came and he wanted to destroy, you cast him out and tell him to leave. He said, you don't have to wait for me. He said, we're franchising this thing. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to go inside you. And the same power that you saw me, greater works will you do because he lives on the inside of you. He didn't say sit there and freak out and figure out, can I do it? Should I do it? When do I do it? Does he want me to do it? How do I do it? I don't know if I can do it. He said, jump up if all you got is a slingshot and throw them rocks.
That's right.
Well, yeah, but my giant's got a sword. Yeah, but my giant's 9 feet tall. Yeah, but my giant's got a whole army. My army's scared. They're eating cheese sandwiches over here, right? He said, take off with whatever you got and just trust me. Just trust me. The woman with the issue of blood. Yeah, but I have no more money. Yeah, but nobody wants to be around me. I've had this forever. I've been exiled. I've been pushed aside. Just take off. If all you can hit is some threads, hit some threads. Do whatever you've got to do. If God's telling you to do something, if God's asking you to do something, lean in with expectation. Lean in with anticipation. When a runner gets ready, he doesn't do this. Right? Like, I'm here. I'm in my lane. The crowd is there. I got my jersey on. That's not what a runner does. No, a runner is leaning in. They're anticipating. They're ready. The moment that the permission is given, boom, they're gone. It's not a, okay, well, we're going to start off with a walk, right? I don't want to pull anything. Last time I ran, I hurt something. We're going to do things different this time. That's not how they do it. They take off. What God is asking you to do, no matter your age, no matter your season, no matter your circumstance, it's going to require faith. But faith will always have something to come around and counter it. You ever talk to somebody who you say something good, but they've always just got a what if?
Yeah.
They've got that negative bent. Yeah. They can always add their paint to the picture. It's like, why did we even go there? You know, I'm telling you what's going to happen. Yeah, but what if this happens? I got a client like that, and I just told him, I said, all your what ifs are just causing you years, and they're causing you more time. And that's fine because you're paying me. Yeah. You take as long as you want. Yeah. More money in my pocket, I don't care. But you're not getting where you need to be. Yeah. Quit with the what ifs. I've got a friend that every time I see him, he'll ask me a question. I don't know why people think because you're in ministry that you wrote the Bible. Yeah. Right? I'm like, I don't know, read it. I have no idea what that means. I don't know. Google it. See what it says. Right? Ask the Holy Ghost. I didn't write the thing, you know. But I'll sit down and he'll go, what do you think Jesus meant about this? And really what he's about to say is, because I have my own version and I'm hoping that that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll just listen to him and I'll go, I don't know, man. So what would you do? Well, I'd probably follow the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you follow the Holy Spirit? That's your problem. Is you want babies with no intimacy. You want the reward, but you don't want to plant the seed. You want to microwave this thing instead of slow cooking it.
Right.
You're going to have to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to learn to talk to Him. You're going to have to learn to let Him talk to you. You're going to have to identify His voice. Because here's the issue. It's Christians who don't know the voice of God know many voices. They just can't recognize them. They allow too many conversations to happen. They've got the voice of doubt. They've got the voice of fear. They've got the voice of the flesh. They've got the voice of anger. They've got all those different voices talking. And when the Holy Spirit's talking, they don't hear it because there's too many things happening. It's like when my kids are like, hey, dad, and I've got somebody talking to me and I'm going, hold on a second. I got, shh, everybody, shut up. Your priority. What do you want to say? I'll talk to you in a minute, right? Because if not, you'll just, yeah, whatever. And you'll give an answer of relief rather than an answer of faith, an answer that's correct, an answer that's accurate.
That's good.
So in your life right now, you might have some situations that you're facing. You might have some challenges. Let me just say this to you. There's a difference in knowing the wisdom of God towards something, right? I kind of describe it like this. There's a set of lights on the inside of you, red, yellow, and green. And you know when the Holy Spirit's giving you a green light. It's like, man, I just feel I can do this. But you also know when there's a red light. It's like, don't even go near this.
Sometimes I wish
you
just leave me alone.
I know, right? It's like, come on. Every now and then, there's a yellow light that you're kind of like, I kind of feel like I have a choice here. I can go, but I feel a resistance that maybe I should go slowly. Maybe I should be praying about this. Maybe I should seek God. Maybe I'm not quite sure. Or the Holy Spirit's just saying, hey, be cautious in this. Why? Because let me tell you something. I was watching a movie yesterday, and there was this guy, and he's dropped off. It's like a military movie. He's dropped off in the jungle, but they got a drone like 70,000 feet above his head, surveillancing him, yeah? And he's walking around, and the drone is going, okay, to your left, there's four hostiles. Well, he don't see them. So at first, he was just walking like this, right? And he's just like, man, I'm out here. I got my gun. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, there's four hostiles, right? He's walking differently. But he's got somebody seeing for him. See, the Holy Spirit will do that for you.
That's good.
That as you're going through your day and everything's great and everything's lovely and you're off guard, he'll go, hey, wait a second. Walk into the situation on yellow. Just trust me because there's an adversary. There's a plan over here and I've got to help you. There's a red that says, don't go there. Turn around and go this way. And when there's a green, man, you can just take off, skip, jump, hum, whistle, whatever you want to do. Have fun. But some people, if they were ever given a red or a yellow, they'll just sit there for the rest of their life. And they'll go, well, God didn't let me. Or God told me no. Or I thought it was a green and it was a red and I got hurt. Because I ran into a situation I shouldn't have. Because I went against the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And so now I'm upset with God. Now I'm hurt with God. I talked to a gentleman yesterday, former pastor, and we were talking because he's doing some tactical training, and so I do tactical training, and I just said, hey, tell me about where you're at, what you're doing, because I'll travel for it. I don't care. I got a school in Florida I'm going to. I'll travel for this type of stuff. And this guy, he's telling me, he said, oh, so you're leaving ministry? And I said, what? I was asking you where there's a gun school. How did you get leaving ministry? So I thought, that's weird. I wonder why he asked me that. And I said, no, I'm just going to this school for some training because I just like it. I don't have a lot of hobbies. I got a lot of kids. Like, that's my hobby, right? So now I want to go shoot something, right? And he said, oh, he said, because I left ministry. So I was seeing, okay, he thought I was quitting ministry to go towards a passion, that he quit ministry and found a passion. And began to talk to him, and I said, well, tell me your story. And he starts telling me a story, and he said, I don't know that I'll ever pastor again. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, I got hurt by the church. And I said, yeah, but God didn't hurt you. People hurt you. The church is full of people. Where there's sheep, there's poop. There's going to be poop everywhere. Come on. If you didn't sign up for the poop business too, then that's what it is, right? I mean, everybody wants to have a baby until they start pooping everywhere. And you're like, well, wait a second. It's part of the process, right? You just got to deal with it. But I told him, I said, God didn't do that to you. And so God can heal you of that hurt. God can restore you of that pain. But you've got to get back out and operate in your design. If God's called you to pastor, then get back out there and pastor.
Amen.
Don't just run around and shoot guns. My God, you know? So faith is so important, but fear will come around with a mission as well. Faith always has a mission. Faith has something that you're going to go and you're going to conquer. You're going to leave a place to enter into a new place. You're going to go from one condition to a next. Romans chapter 1 says from faith to faith. There's new levels of faith. But what fear tries to do is fear tries to not just take you to a new level of faith. Fear will try to keep you where you're at.
Yes, absolutely.
It just keeps you where you are. And if you don't do anything any more than what you've already done, you're no longer a threat. It's kind of like this scenario. Let's say you wanted in high school to make the football team. So you go to the practices and you do the workouts and you talk to your dad. Dad, throw the football with me in the backyard, right? Dad, clock me on my 40, clock me on my 60. See how fast I'm running, Dad, right? You're eating better. You're throwing in some creatine. You're doing some stuff, right? And you finally make it on the team, and they give you your jersey. You know your number. You have an identity now. You're a part of something. But if you sit the bench the whole season, you might have been on the team, but you weren't in the game.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
And sometimes the devil don't care if you're on the team as long as you sit the bench.
Yep. Oh, that's so good.
He don't care that you got saved. I mean, we know he wants you to go to hell. But if he lost you to eternity with heaven, that's fine as long as you don't do anything that would cause any threat to his kingdom. And a lot of Christians are just that, Christians. They got the jersey, they got the number, they've identified on the team, and they're okay with sitting the bench as long as they don't have to get in there and get hurt. But I'm different. Even when I was living in the world, I was a fighter. I didn't care. I didn't care if I won the fight, but I guarantee you this, I'm in the fight. It doesn't matter if I get up defeated, you pick me up and I'm broke up, messed up, and beat up, at least I'm in the fight. And if I got the right friends, we're coming back an hour later with more of us and we're going to finish the fight. Right? That was my life. I just, if there was a fight, I had friends that would call me, hey, fight's going to where? I just wanted to be in the fight. I didn't care. If there's a fight, I'm showing up. I would just watch two people fight I didn't know, and I'd go, he's losing, let's go help him. And we would just jump in. I'm the same way in my relationship with God. I want to be in a fight to faith. The Bible says it's a good fight. It's a fight that we win because we're not fighting for victory. Where we're seated, we're now fighting from a place of victory.
Yes.
You understand that? We're contending, which means the champion, the title is already ours. We're contending for what God has given us. And so if Satan can get you to walk slower, if he can get you to be hesitant, if he can get you to be timid, you might not say you're afraid. Right, you might have an alias for it, like you're cautious or whatever you want to say. But if Satan can get you to not take off towards the things of God, then he's going to leave you in a place and a condition that is not God's best for your life.
Good.
You don't have to be out here just renouncing Christ and saying, oh, I'm not serving God. You can just be quiet. Because think about it, that day when David showed up with his sandwiches, everyone was suited up, geared up, on the team, had the helmets, had the armor. They're there, but they're sitting the bench. David was the only one that said, put me in, coach. I'll go in by myself. I'll do this by myself. And you look at that spirit of faith that David had, that we first started with Paul quoting him. If you remember the story of David, later on, David was running for his life and he got into a cave.
Yeah.
And he was in that cave just hiding. You ever played hide and go seek?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want people hiding with you. Right? Because they'll give away your location.
Yeah.
Here he is hiding and 400 men show up. I mean, I would have been like, guys, you're ruining my hiding spot. Like, they're going to find us. I was scared they'd see me. There's 400 of y'all. We can't do this, right? And the Bible describes these men as 400 men who were distressed, discontent, and in debt. Distressed, discontent, and in debt. Doesn't sound like 400 people you want to be hanging out with. But they came for him. And him, the leader that he was, the man that he was. Later on, if you go to 1 Chronicles 29, you read, it describes these men differently. It calls them mighty men. It actually calls them generals, captains, leaders. These mighty men who were the rejects, the nobodies. Now, they're society's who's who's. They're leading things. They're rulers. They're men of authority, men of great stature, men of position. They're somebody. Why? Because they got around a spirit of faith. See, David wasn't running because he was scared. He was running because he was following what God told him to. He had to escape. There were times when even Jesus himself would escape a city. It's just wisdom, right? If someone says, give me all your money, just give them your money, right? Unless you're really good and you know what to do with these hands. Just give them your debit card. It's okay, right? You can cancel it when they run away. But there's wisdom that you have to follow. But David had a spirit of faith that became contagious. And Paul read about that spirit of faith. Paul heard about that spirit of faith. And Paul said, I got that. I want that. I want to encourage you today, get around people who have a different sound. When they speak differently. I was just at a church with a pastor, and he doesn't fully understand this yet, but he's getting there. And so we got done with the sermon message, and I'm touring the facility, and I was just preaching on vision and faith for vision and to believe God for more and what God has for their church and their community and their city and their building. And so we walk in, and they were, you know, you take up an offering and they have a place to go and they count the offering. And so as we're touring the facility, we walk by one of the rooms where all the team is in there counting the offering, and the pastor makes a joke. He goes, "Hey, we're not broke yet, are we?" And a couple of people chuckled, and then one of the people walked out of that room and they said, "Hey, Pastor, I'm sorry, excuse me. Did you not hear the message today?" Why would you ever say that? Are you expecting us to be broke? And they corrected him in front of me. And I just kind of stood there and I was like, did you not hear the message today?
Somebody heard my message.
Right.
Yes.
So as we were leaving, I said, "Hey, Pastor, I know that's probably embarrassing, you know, in front of me. But really, you got to give it to them." What they were trying to tell you is, Pastor, we're not believing to ever be broke. We're believing that more than enough is coming in for the vision that you're carrying and giving to us. And I said, you got to change that, because that's not a spirit of faith. Spirit of you were anticipating lack rather than anticipating more and growth. Right? It's like when your teenage son comes home and you're like, I bet he's drunk again. Well, guess what? You're anticipating that. Right? I remember we had a guest speaker at OSC not too long ago, and he said every time he'd come home high and he'd come home drunk, his mom would say, "Hey, Pastor, how you doing?" She'd always call him a pastor. And he's like, "Quit calling me that, Mom. I'm a gangster. I'm a thug. I'm a drug addict." And she'd call him a pastor. "Hey, Pastor, how you doing?" Because she wanted to speak for his future, for his destiny, for the direction he was going to go. And now guess what he is? He's a pastor.
Yes.
The Bible says we call things, just as God, we call things which be not as though they were.
Yes.
So your situation might look bad, but the Bible says we don't go by what we see. We go by the Word of God.
Amen.
What does the Word of God say about my marriage, about my finances, about this nation, about whatever? That's what I'm going to say. I'm just going to be an echo. That's all I'm going to be. If God said it, He's going to hear me say it. Right?
Amen.
I don't want God to say something and to hear a different word. If you go up to a mountaintop and go, "Hello," you don't hear, "You're an idiot," right? No, what comes back is, "Hello,
hello,
hello." You want to say the same thing God's saying.
Yes.
If God's saying you can do it, then say you can do it.
That's right.
Yeah. If God's saying you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, then wake up every morning, look at your giant, look at your situation and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God says you're more than a conqueror, then look at your situation and say, today, even right now, in the face of this, I'm more than a conqueror. If God said, just like the story he was sharing earlier, by Jesus' stripes we were healed.
Yeah.
Were is past tense, which means you're living in a present condition of something that happened already.
Yes.
So if by Jesus' stripes I was healed, then I am healed. And if I am healed, then I'm going to act like I'm healed. I'm going to talk like I'm healed. I'm going to believe like I'm healed. And I'm going to walk around and I'm not going to be under the weight of this issue. Well, the biggest battle we face as Christians, as men, is in our mind.
Yes. Yes.
Fear does not exist externally. It's internal.
Mm.
That's why Paul said to Timothy, he said, man, I know that you've got some things, but right now I need to let you know God didn't give you that spirit of fear you got.
Yeah.
He didn't give it to you. And he talked about his mind, but he gave you power, love, and a sound or a self-disciplined mind. If you back up a few verses, this is how he started that conversation. He said, Timothy, I love you. man, I can't wait to see you. You mean so much to me. Right? I mean, Paul was a really good spiritual father. He was a really good person on follow-up. You mean so much to me. He said, so much so, I remember last time I left you, I was crying. I didn't want to leave you. He said, and I'll be crying when I see you. I mean, just words of like, imagine if your father talked to you like that. We don't read anywhere about Timothy having a father. Then he went in to say this. He said, don't forget what I put in you when I laid my hands on you. There was a transfer. There was an impartation of faith. He said, matter of fact, your grandmother and your mother, they both put in you faith. I put in you faith. Then he said, God didn't give you this fear you're dealing with, Timothy. What was he doing? He was basically saying, hey, you're not alone. You're not. That's why I'm writing you a letter. I'm with you, man. I believe in you. I love you. I'm for you. I'm your spiritual father. I laid my hands on you and put some stuff in you. But man, you've got a mom. You've got a grandmother. You've got a lot of people believing in you. See, fear begins to give you a scenario and gives you this alternate image that's not true. You come up with this own story that I'm in this all by myself. Nobody's with me. Nobody's for me. Nobody understands me. God Himself is not even with me. And you become alone. And now instead of standing, now you're seated. But you're not seated in heavenly places. You're seated in fear.
Yeah.
He's got you to back down. Don't let the devil cause your steps to stop. What faith is on the inside of you, right? God's put it in there. What fear will paralyze, faith will mobilize. And when you've got a moment of hesitancy, that you're not quite sure, you're scared, you don't know what you're supposed to do, you're not going for it, that's when the Bible says you can stir yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Look it up, man. Good stuff. Go to Acts chapter 2. Read that. Right? Read what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. The Bible says Acts 1:8 that He gives you power. Right? You can go build a house with a screwdriver. It's a lot better with a power tool.
Absolutely.
You can cut a board with a hacksaw. It's a lot better with a miter saw.
Mm.
Right? Way better with a table saw.
Yes.
The power is more efficient. And that's what Acts 1:8 says. He gives you ability, efficiency, and might when His Spirit comes upon your life. The Spirit of God came upon David and he killed Goliath. It's true. Bible says you can run through a troop, leap over a wall. I mean, that's a big deal right there. Some people just trying to climb a little fence, you know? But He said, no, 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 Spirit of faith, you'll take off. You'll run towards the mess. You'll run towards the fire. You'll run towards the fight. Don't run from it. Don't tuck tail and run. Turn and face your giants. And I'll close with this. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, after He had cursed a fig tree, He said in verse 22, have faith in God. Have faith in God. One translation says, have the God kind of faith. But in verse 23 and 24 and 25, He describes how we do that. He said, you have a mountain in your life? Speak to it. Speak to it. He didn't say turn around and ignore it. He said speak to it. Not only just speak to it, tell it where to go. Tell it to get out of your life. He said, and then the things that you say, believe in your heart. That's the key. Because after you say, the devil comes and says, that didn't work. God didn't hear you. You know what you did yesterday? He ain't going to listen to someone like you. Look what you just did last month. Look what you did yesterday. Look what you did 5 minutes ago. You think God's going to answer your prayer? And so now you say it, but you waver. The Bible says, hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering. Why? For He is faithful who promised, as Hebrews. So when you speak to the mountain, you tell it to go. He said, believe in your heart the things that you say. They'll come to pass and you'll have whatsoever you say. But here's the other key. He said, and when you stand praying, forgive.
Oh,
that's a big one.
Yeah, forgive.
See, the devil will find some way to tie your shoestrings together. You got your nice shoes on. You're standing up. You're ready to go. And you can't go no more. Why? Well, God, I heard the word. God, I believe you. God, I trust you. Yeah, but you're still mad at your dad. Yeah, but you're still angry with your pastor. Or yeah, you still got this issue with your wife. Or you haven't talked to your son in 4 years. You got unforgiveness in your heart. He said, if you don't get that straight, he said, then God can't help you. Why? We'll go back to Matthew chapter 6. He teaches us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be known. All that, right? But he says, forgive me as I forgive others. Yeah. We've got to forgive people. Unforgiveness and those types of oughts, the Bible calls it ought. It says you have ought towards any, will keep you stuck in a condition, and it'll keep you surrounded by mountains. When God said, I'll clear it all for you. Yeah. And I'll help you keep going. But you got to let that go.
Amen.
So don't let fear keep you sitting. Don't let unforgiveness keep you sitting. Lean into faith. Anticipate and expect what God has for you to do. And let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all receive that? Amen. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Father God, that faith is in our hearts. You said that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, we heard the word today, so faith is here. We receive it by faith. We walk it out by faith. We do not allow fear, timidity, anxiety, worry, any of those things, stress, to stop us from doing what you've called us to do. We release all unforgiveness and we go forward by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys.